On your election day morning, and our community connection brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. And actually, it is on the printed schedule. It's his turn to be in. Fourth Ward City Councilman Alan Gentius, thank you so much for coming in this morning, sir, and a good election day to you.
Thank you, and good election day to you, Charlie.
Normally, it was a busy schedule last night for the council, approximately a 2.5 hour meeting. A lot of citizens to be heard, and then several issues on the agenda. I normally skip past issue citizens to be heard, but Mr. Sears was in front of the council, and when it gets a round of applause by those spectators, I'm going to assume he had something to say. It went like this.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, Earl Sears, live at 1721 Cherokee Place. I have to tell you, I'm here before you tonight because I'm pretty frustrated. About 3 weeks ago, I was in this room when you had a consent agenda to name a street, avenue, after Jim Bonsack, and I was in the room. And I'm here tonight because of my frustration, as that night I didn't stand up because during that meeting there was a citizen here that literally, personally attacked the council, called you liars, said that you didn't respond to people. It was just very scathing. And it was very frustrating to me because I served with the city council for 4 years, and I stand here tonight as a citizen to simply say to all of you, I'm not here to ask you to delay the vote on the name of the green. I'm not here to ask about a street. I'm here to simply say thank you. I happen to know every one of you up here, every one of you. You're honorable people, and I say thank you on behalf of me, my wife, my family, and I quite frankly thank the majority of our community for serving in this public service. You don't get a lot of money. As I said, I served 4 years. So I want to say thank you, and it's just unacceptable. The people that have approached this podium tonight have been very respectful. They've asked you for you to consider something, look at something, reconsider, or take another look at it. That's the just way this process should work. But to stand up here and literally attack you and call you liars was just something that I had to come here. The reason why I was out of town, well, you didn't have the meetings, and then I was out of town one night, and then I think this is the first opportunity I've had to be here. So, again, I want to say thank you to all of you for serving. You're honorable people, and thank you for representing our community. And take the information, absorb the information, look at the pros and the cons, and continue to work on behalf of the people. But I truly believe each and every one of you are honorable people, and I'm very, very saddened that you were attacked that night and called some of the things that were stated to you. So thank you for letting me allow to correct what I should have done 3 weeks ago. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Earl Sears last night, citizens to be heard, just basically to say thank you for your service.
Earl is a fine statesman. You know, we talk about politicians and those kind of things, but he's a true statesman, and I appreciated very much what he had to say.
And it applies to all five of you. One contested race that you are a candidate for, the other an open seat, but good reasons for people to go out and vote today.
Absolutely.
Several items on the agenda last night, other than what was said there on citizens to be heard. I think the majority of the time taken somewhere on the generically named Tower Green. That was the project that was put forward for the voters to decide. The voters said yes. The percentage, as I recall, was a 66% or 67% yes vote on that one. And so you could say of those who participated, a good majority, a super majority saying yes.
Yes, and it was we were very glad to see that the community got behind making sure we could pay for this project. And since April, we've had 11 meetings, five meetings specifically just for public comment. At every one of the other meetings, it was always open to public comment, well publicized, well attended. Had a survey with over 1,000 people involved. The two main issues were what would be the ultimate design, and the other issue was what we would name the green space. The committee did come up with a unanimous decision on both as to the design after many, 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 many meetings and many weeks of work, and also on a name. At the last weekend or this last weekend, there was a group that felt like that they would like us to hold off on the naming aspect of it. I could have gone either way. I always thought this would be the easy part, Charlie, as far as naming it. I thought the design would be much more difficult. But, like I said last night, there were several names I could live with. I think ultimately the citizens will call it something, and that's what will stick.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I could go either way. We could go ahead and choose the name that the committee had recommended, or we can wait a few more weeks, which I think is the way we're going to go. And there was unanimous decision among the council to approve the design. And we can talk about the design if you'd like. But
sure.
There was a good presentation on that and the history of it. And I'm so excited that this project has gone forward. I think that if we were to put it on a vote of the people now, it would probably be higher than 2/3. So it's going to be an exciting, transformative moment for the city. And, you know, it highlights the two architectural gems we have here, something that really no place else in the world has.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the designs that Mr. Ambler showed the council with the assistance of the man from Taliesin West really, I think, brought home the reasons, the decision process architecturally as to how they arrived at the proposed design. And the comments that I heard from the council last night were unanimous approval.
Yes, and I thought that, as you said, Scott Ambler and Chris Winters, the fellow from Taliesin, did a great job of showing the public the progression on the design aspect of it, starting prior to the charrette that we had, where the students came in, then that long weekend and the three that they had come up with, and then an amalgamation of those, and then, of course, us as older fellows, always have to be making sure that it fits the budget.
Yes.
So there were some things that we all would have liked, but we decided that, of course, we have to fit the budget and deliver everything that we had talked about before. And so some of the things will probably have to wait. We'll let other folks in the community be a part of that, possibly through fundraising and maybe naming and those kind of things. But ultimately, the design I think that we came up with will be a beautiful design. It'll be one that functions well for all of the types of functions that people had said that they wanted in the survey and at these meetings. And we're within budget. And I'm very excited because I think that we'll actually start in the design process now as far as the construction documents, the bidding, in conjunction with the stormwater project, that large $2 million project that will start there on Adams in 6th. Then we'll be seeing things in the spring. I think we'll see some dirt being moved.
I think it was encouraging for those that were hearing about it for the first time, the fact that not only were you within budget, as the architectural firms said, yeah, it looks good to us, but the due diligence of going down to Tulsa to the people who just recently built a similar project, and they kind of signed off and said, looks good to me too.
Right, that was Jones Plan, and they're the ones that had designed and worked on the gatherings space, which is a much bigger project than we have here. But we felt like and Scott Ambler and his group felt like we wanted to make sure that we were certainly within the ballpark. It did do some due diligence at vetting, and they looked at the numbers and they felt like they were in the ballpark or close. We also had Terry Lawrence from the city look at it, and I've had conversations with him, and he feels like that we should be good on those numbers. One thing we did include that was not really talked about during the bond promotion was that everybody wanted bathrooms.
You're
so
right.
We are going to have bathrooms.
Yes.
and I think it's a great idea.
And I'm sure so there will be the comment, well, they did a great job, but they didn't get enough of them. But again, budget and space were all considerations.
Well, and we went through that process. The first design only had one stall, but now Councilman Kurt and I both said that maybe that wasn't good enough, and so the design that we've approved last night will have three. Now I know the ladies would probably like 7 and have the men on one, but we try to be equal on this.
You're pretty close, I think. Yeah.
And they're saying that it should accommodate that size of bathroom. They must, I guess they study everything. That size of bathroom should accommodate about 400 a group of 400 going through there.
Okay.
And of course, you can always bring in some additional services if necessary.
Sure.
Absolutely. I'd love to have 2,000 people down there and have to bring in some of those.
And it's nice to see, it's rare, I guess, that you see a municipal committee or governmental committee with co-chairs. Typically, there's a chair and a vice chair or some other structure, but rarely, at least, have I seen co-chairs on a committee.
Well, and you know, that's the inclusive way I like to run things. If somebody else wants to be a part of it in that capacity, it's fine with me. And, of course, Mr. Curd has been involved very much in the overall process and the promotion of the bond and working for that. And he had said that he'd like to be co-chair. I had no objection at all. And we always work very well together, as the entire council has. It's, mm-hmm. I think it's a testament to show that when folks possibly of different backgrounds, different points of view, can listen to each other and work with each other, we accomplish a lot, and I think this council has. I look back on these last 2 years, I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm a small part of it, but I really appreciate being a part of it.
So this project will be combined with the storm sewer project that is slated to start really within a few months.
That's right. The construction documents, I believe, are going to be here soon. No later than December, and then they'll be letting the bids, and that project should start. They've moved the project a little bit further to the south, so actually it'll pick up the stormwater from Adams, is my latest understanding of it, and that will go right through where the Tower Green will be, or the green space. I'm not sure what we're supposed to call this at this point.
Well, green space is, I'll say, more generic, even though you have certainly been upfront that was a working title.
Right. And, you know, if you want to call it Unity Square, that's fine with me. Whatever you want to call it, it works for me. Except for last night, I did say I didn't want Copeland's land rush, although I like the Copeland part. So anyway,
you got to chuckle out of the council on that one, too.
And so what we'll see is that that project will start, be in conjunction with what we'll be doing, because there will have to be some grading. There's a lot of electrical lines go through there, gas lines. Be very careful about that. That should take care of that end of the stormwater management, and then the pretty part will start, and hopefully we'll see some of that starting, I would say, in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Been some discussion as to exactly when we would like it to finish. If we can finish early fall, that would be good. We don't want to finish necessarily in the winter. We might bump it to next spring if necessary.
Well, the overall design, and I've got several photos posted on the web. I'll get some more up there next time I get a chance to update the website. But a space that certainly is a stage-type space, though the space for a sculpture, water feature, the preservation of the existing fountain, either as it is or in some form, a space that would work very well for Indian summer and activities like that. It's a multifunctional space. Probably you wouldn't have too many simultaneous activities, but it's nice for either a music event or something like that, but just some quiet reflection park space as well.
Right. The western end of the green will be what they're calling the wild area. There'll be a lot of natural landscaping, and they're calling them boulders. It'll be cut stone most likely. Mm-hmm. Children play on them. People can sit there. It'll be like an oasis within the city, but you'll still have the beauty of the city. You'll see the tall buildings. You'll see the pretty architecture. And then, of course, the space that has been kept for a potential future water feature, not one in which, as I know there was one citizen was concerned, there might be children throwing mud balls. Don't think there'll be any mud in this area. That it all looks like it's paving of some sort. And it'll actually be some sort of sculpture, mm-hmm. most likely, that will have a water aspect to it. So it'll be beautiful regardless if it's on or off. It'll also be fun for the kids. There'll be some lighting probably eventually that would also work into like in evenings or in winter. So we have, you know, a continual use. It's not just summertime or mm-hmm. spring or fall. It also includes winter. And with what the Chamber of Commerce has done last year with that ice rink, and I know they're going to do it again this year, you know, that we may become a city that feels more comfortable being outside in the winter than maybe we have in the past and actually have more events.
Could be a very positive thing for us.
Yes.
We're talking with Ward 4 Councilman Alan Gentius on this election day, and we will continue a community connection in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
The story was fairly well known going into the council meeting, but the BDA came to the council last night for an incentive to preserve some jobs in town. Not as many as apparently would be leaving, but when you're losing 100 or so and you can preserve a fifth or so of those, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I was very excited about this prospect of working with the Phillips Precision Machining, which will be a spinoff from what was happening at Siemens. They've been working on, Dave Woods and the BDA have been working on this project for over a year. When we first found out that Siemens was leaving, of course, that they have good paying jobs, and we hate to see that happen. Again, a decision that was made in Germany, and Bartlesville City Council doesn't have a lot of influence over that, but we do have an influence over what the BDA might do, and they came up with a plan with some more creative approach, and so the PPM will be operating on in the industrial park in a building that'll be built there for them, and they have a 3-year contract with Siemens going forward, and it looks like all the numbers should work. And what we're hoping, of course, keeping the jobs that we have, these good-paying primary jobs, is right up what we all want to do. But we're hoping it also will grow in the future and they'll be able to hire more. So we're hoping that they will have a lot of success. Very exciting approach, rather than having to go out, compete with 1,000 other cities to maybe get 2 or 3 businesses. We're keeping one of the businesses, or part of one of the businesses that has been here.
And employees that likely already have a home here.
Right.
One item, again, the council chose a new city attorney. Jerry Maddox, of course, gave plenty of notice to the council, and there was a timetable set a month or so ago. You would take applications and name a council city attorney during the November meeting.
Right. Of course, we're always, I know I've said this before, but we're sorry to see Jerry go. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and he's been a great asset to the community. There have been a lot of changes, as you know, within the city, and I think we're in good shape.
I smile when I say this. If anybody could have owned the title of city attorney for life, he might have had it.
I think he could have had it. So we did extend a contract to Jess Kane last night. Of course, that is available in the packet, and people can look at it. It is what they call an at-will contract. As most attorneys are, we are generally, you can't force your client to keep you. And certainly in this situation, that's where we are. I think Jess is a capable, what I would consider young attorney. Of course, everybody's young to me anymore, but he has experience in this area. He's been our city prosecutor for some time. He'll be doing both jobs, being city attorney as well as city prosecutor, which that is really kind of the norm in many cities of our size.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to new leadership there. Of course, I'll always, if I stick around and they have any questions, I've done a little bit of that too, so I'd be more than glad to give my 2 cents worth for free.
You have had that title for another municipality at one time?
Yeah, about 12 years still doing it.
One other thing that was of note, just because there was a councilman of the same last name, went above and beyond and recused himself, stepped out in the hallway for the discussion and vote on the job.
Well, you know, John Kane, again, I would call him a young man.
I believe it's a fair statement. He's the youngest on the council.
Yes, and he shows wisdom way above his years. He is always sensitive to make sure that there's no even appearance of impropriety. Certainly wouldn't have been. I think he was right in his analysis as far as the law he could have voted. But having the last name, having some familial relationship with Jess Kane, it just shows the kind of integrity that John Jay has shown. And I'm going to miss him on the council. Sometimes when a hard decision is to be made, John Jay always steps up, shows a lot of courage, shows great intellect, and I hope in the future that he'll continue to do something for the city, or if he decides to seek other office. I know he's going to be busy with his family. He's got a young family. I know how that can be, but he'll be missed. And again, he just showed once again what kind of a class person he is.
Well, you've talking with Ward 4 Councilman Alan Gentius. It is a contested election. Best of luck to you today, sir.
Thank you.
And we've been talking on a community connection on 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. More on the way coming up in just a bit on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.
Branson's IMAX 6th Annual Military Film Festival during Veterans Week, November 6th through the 10th, featuring award-winning documentaries, Lost Air.